This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. In 2012, the Supreme Court ruled that a sentence of mandatory life without parole for juvenile offenders is unconstitutional. Just last year, the court re-emphasized the ruling, adding that their decision applies to the more than 2,000 inmates already serving sentences across the country. Well, the Associated Press investigated how states are handling that ruling, and they found responses varied widely. Here in North Carolina, 67 people who were sentenced to life in prison without parole as teens are currently serving time. Martha Wagner is an AP reporter who's been working on that story and joins me now. Martha, welcome. Good to have you here.
Nice to be here, Frank. Thank you.
Also with us is Alan Breed, an AP reporter and videographer who sat down and talked with one of the teen offenders in North Carolina. Hello, Alan.
Thanks for having us.
Good to have you, both of you here. Martha, start by telling us more about this 2012 ruling. What did it say?
It basically said that it's unconstitutional to have a mandatory life without parole sentence for a juvenile. It didn't say you can't get it, but it said it can't be the mandatory sentence. And then in January...
So I want to stop you right there, because that would mean that, you know, various states have legal codes, and they might say if you're found guilty of this crime, judge has his or her hands tied, the sentence must be life without parole. And what they're saying is, no, you can't have a law on your books that says you will be sentenced to this if you're found guilty of that.
Right, if you're a juvenile. That's correct.
If you're a juvenile. Okay, so that's one thing. And then the question is whether or not that applied to everybody who'd already been sentenced or just going forward, right?
Right. So in January of last year, the Supreme Court came back and said, basically, no, we were really serious. You know, this is retroactive. And the AP story said that there were more than 2,000, as you mentioned, 2,000 juvenile or people who committed their crimes as juveniles who were serving the life without parole sentence retroactively.
Right. And so what did that mean for here in North Carolina?
North Carolina changed its law right after the first decision, which was a case out of Alabama. So I'm not sure that the second decision on retroactivity really applied so much. I think there were three states that had a whole lot of people, maybe more than 1,000 to whom it applied. And then, but North Carolina had already handled it and started hearings.
And what did the court say in the majority opinion about why this would be unconstitutional?
It was because we know better now about the brain and how it works and how it's not developed fully as a when you're young, and you can make bad decisions from driving too fast to running with the wrong people and then to killing somebody, basically, the court said.
Alan, you sat down with somebody named Johnny Beck Jr., one of those former teen offenders who is currently imprisoned at the Franklin Correctional Center in Franklin County. Tell us a little bit more about Johnny and his story.
Johnny, he was from Raleigh, from the tough side of Raleigh. When he was about 16 and a half, he was at an apartment with some other people. And according to the transcripts, while another alleged drug dealer, 16 years old as well, was talking on the telephone, he basically walked up behind him and put a bullet in the back of his head. And there was also testimony that he shot him again in the head while he was lying on the floor. Within several months, this was in February of 1995, he turned 17 in August, I believe, of 95, and by the end of the next month, he was being sentenced to life without parole.
And you talked with him about that moment when he was in the courtroom and received that sentence.
That was the worst day in my life. It was unfathomable. You know, I had been on earth, like you said, 17 years, and now they're telling me that that's it. You know, I'm never, ever going to see my mom again, never going to see my dad again. It was surreal. Like, I couldn't process it, really. You know, at that age, I don't think you really have a concept of time anyway, like, really time. I mean, you've only been on this earth 17 years. So to say that basically forever, like who has a concept of forever at that? You know, like I was numb.
That was a clip from Johnny Beck Jr., currently serving a life sentence at Franklin Correctional Center in Franklin County. I'm speaking with AP reporters Martha Wagoner and Alan Breed, who did that interview. But Martha, let me ask you, after that 2012 ruling, Johnny did petition for a new sentence, right? And so tell me what happened after that.
Alan may be better at that.
He was denied what they call a Miller hearing on his first attempt. And under North Carolina law, after 25 years, he is actually allowed to have judicial review. And so 3 years from now, he served 22 years. 3 years from now, he gets a judicial review. But there are lawyers who are in the process of petitioning again for another Miller hearing under this Supreme Court ruling.
So he has not, under the Supreme Court ruling, there's been no judgment about whether he can have the initial sentence changed.
No, he's still serving life without parole.
All right. Well, Martha, how does his story compare with other teen offenders in the AP story nationally or here in North Carolina?
Well, in North Carolina, I think the case that people will remember is that of Lawrence Lovett, who was a juvenile when he shot and killed Eve Carson, the UNC president at the time.
Student body president.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Right, and he was resentenced. I don't remember when, but fairly recently, and he got life without parole again. So I think they range from, you know, someone like Johnny who was young and dealing drugs to this case, which, you know, obviously really resonated in the state.
Right, and to be clear again, what the court said is not that you can't have a life sentence, but that it can't be mandatory based on the crime itself. So in other words, you have to be eligible for a review at some point. At that point, you can get it again. So, but Alan, now you're talking with Johnny Beck Jr., you know, how does he understand just the ethics of sentencing a juvenile to life without parole?
Like other people I've talked to who were sentenced as juveniles, he has studied these cases about the juvenile brain, and he can cite some of those studies. He doesn't believe that – he thinks that he deserves a second chance, and he'd like to prove that he deserves a second chance. But he's also been conducting himself – he said that he got a GED, and he's taken many other classes without any promise that that will mitigate his sentence or reduce his sentence in any way. He says he just decided he wanted to be a better person. For the first 11 years of his sentence, he still maintained his innocence, and that's how he got in touch with Christine Mumma of the Innocence Project here.
The NC Center on
Actual Innocence. And it was only after they'd already spent some time working on his case that he finally admitted that he did it, and he wasn't going to pretend anymore that he was innocent.
So, and that was several years ago. But it's interesting. You talked about the Innocence Project, Martha. Johnny has a unique backstory in that his father was also involved with the Innocence Project.
Right. His father was involved in the Greg Taylor case. Taylor was the first person declared innocent by the NC Innocence Inquiry Commission. They're separate groups. And Johnny and Greg had both been charged originally in that murder of Jaquetta Thomas. And then Greg, neither one of them would testify against the other. Greg ended up being convicted. I think Johnny Beck Sr. was eventually released. And so the name is very familiar to people who followed that case.
All right. Alan, tell us what Johnny Beck Jr. is doing as he awaits his hearing.
His job in the prison is as a janitor. And he's just trying to do his time. He's had very few infractions lately. He takes as many courses as he can. He took an automotive course, which is kind of interesting considering he doesn't even know how to drive a car, I guess, at this point. And seems to sincerely regret what he did and would like to let the family know that he does.
Martha, again, nationally, it seems that if courts or is this up to a parole board to review these sentences or does it go to a judge? I guess if you don't have if mandatory without parole, there'd be no parole board, right?
Right. It goes to these cases go to a judge once they each person has an attorney to bring it forward. And I think something worth pointing out is that the prosecutor handled the case the Johnny Beck Jr. case, Frank Jackson has said that, you know, he believes somebody can change behind bars, and that he hopes that Johnny Beck Jr. has become a good man.
Is there any indication that, that in the state of North Carolina we'll see some people who had been sentenced as juveniles have their sentences changed, or are the courts, I mean, since they don't really have to change the sentence, they just have to have the review, what have we seen? Is there any pattern in other states? Is there any pattern in North Carolina?
In North Carolina, 30 people have gotten new sentencing hearings. 24 got lesser sentences. 6 were resentenced to life without parole. And then originally, I think we had 93 people serving a life without parole sentence. That includes three people who were juveniles when they committed crimes, and they were originally sentenced to death. So their resentencing was to a life without parole sentence.
So the Supreme Court ruling, anyway, has had some effect in North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Martha Wagoner is an Associated Press reporter. Alan Breed is an AP reporter and videographer. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
You can find links to their reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we preview a documentary that tells the story of the Paddock Club, the first gay bar in eastern North Carolina. You'll hear that on State of Things. Please stay with us.